Last Sunday, I started speaking about navigating through life's journey, and I got the first of seven things that I wanted to mention, things that I believe that God has given us to help us navigate through life. The reality is that we're living in a day that is more and more increasingly difficult to navigate through as people, but especially as believers. And what do we do, and where do we turn, and what do we accept, and what do we not accept, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I believe that God has, it's okay, it's not a person, there you go. That's okay, Robert, no problem, buddy. Yeah, we're good, just the walker fell over, amen. But it's a day when we need some help navigating through some of the things that we see around us and hear about, etc. And last week I began by sharing the first of seven things that I think God has given us to help us navigate through this life's journey as a believer. And that was the Word of the Lord. Amen? Bible. So that's what we talked about today. And I'm going to continue on now and try to get to a couple, and if I can, at least one. Today. But I want to review just a little bit, and I want to go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I read this last week, but I think it'll be a good startup for where the series is, navigating through life's journey. And remember, I talked to you about what does navigate mean. Navigate in its simplest form just means from getting from point A to point B as safely as possible. That's the job of the navigator. And he may have to make some twists and turns, etc., but he's going to get you there in the safest, quickest way possible. And for us as believers on this life journey, that's what we have to do. And in one of the most important instruments that the navigator has is the compass. And that's what I shared with you the Word of God was. That is our compass. That's what we look to. That's the thing that stays consistent. That's the thing that stands firm. And I mentioned last week about the opposition to the compass, the opposition to the Word of God. You're going to hear everything today, and not so much that I can remember in my life, but so much today of contradicting the Word of the Lord. Even Christians, and I fear Christians that have been misled and deceived into saying, well, the Bible doesn't really say that, it really means this. And the Bible really isn't against this. If you read it and study it closely, it is really this. And I got to tell you, we got to be careful. Amen? And as a matter of fact, in the Scriptures, it is told us, the words of Jesus, that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And so Paul warned the Ephesian elders in the book of Acts. He said, I'm departing, but you need to be understanding that there will come ravenous wolves trying to destroy the flock. And if that was true in the first century AD, how much truer is it today in the 21st century right here? Things have not changed. The enemy is constantly trying to alter the course of the believer. And especially young people today, young adults today, young families today. What do I believe? What do I believe in? How do I make a decision based on this and this and this and this? Well, that's where I believe the Word of God is so powerful. Look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Ancient words, and yet words that nevertheless are just as helpful and meaningful today, I believe, to the Christian as they always have been. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart? All your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That's where we get into trouble. That's when we begin to have problems. When we begin to justify things based on our own understanding. And when we look at things and we say to ourselves, well, you know, it makes sense that makes sense and that makes sense, but does it match up with the Word of God? We need to be very careful that we don't lean on our own understanding. It's important to have an understanding, but that understanding needs to be based on the Word of the Lord, I believe. In all your ways, verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. How many of your ways? There it is again. All your ways. The Bible deals with every aspect of our life. There's not one thing that we deal with in our culture, in our world today, that is not addressed, if not directly, at least in principle form, in the Word of the Lord. You can find it there. And again, I think part of the deception, even in our culture today, isn't necessarily, though we have direct attacks against the Bible, I think there's more of an attack against the principles of the Bible. And that's why we need to understand it and read it, digest it, and it becomes then a compass for us. What does the Word of the Lord say in regards to these situations? In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall, what? Direct your path. Thank you. That's a navigation term. He's going to direct your paths. Literally, that word means to make smooth or to make straight. The closest point between two points is a straight line, but sometimes you have to alter the course to get around swamps and bogs and that kind of thing, but you have to get back to the straight line, or you got to get back to true north so you can find your way. And that's what I believe God does with His Word. So we're navigating through this life today. We're navigating through this thing of trying to live for Christ the best that we can. And remember last week I gave you seven things. They're going to come up on the screen. The seven things that I believe God has given us to help us to navigate through this life journey. The power of the Word of God, or the Bible. It's what we talked about last week. The second we're going to deal with today, the power of prayer. And if I can get to it, the third, the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the fourth is the power of God's presence. And then the power of trust and obedience to God's will. It's one thing to know God's will, it's another to do God's will. Amen? It's one thing to know this is the revealed will of God, it's another to follow this book, right? The revealed will of God. And sixthly, the power of godly counsel. And then finally, the power of faith in a faithful God. And so that's kind of where I want to go today. But I want to pick up where I left off last week, just briefly on the power again of the Word of God. Would you turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy? I was not able to use this passage last week. And it really introduces us to the next topic, which is the power of prayer, which is helping us navigate through this life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 17, 15 through 17. 2 Timothy. These are the words written by the Apostle Paul toward the later end of his life. He probably, most scholars believe, he will be put to death shortly after these words were written. And so he will write to his young protege, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. And he will write this warning. As a matter of fact, he says to Timothy on a number of occasions, Timothy, be careful. You're going to lead people. You're going to lead the flock. But be careful. False teachers will arise. And there will be difficult situations. And really, if you read the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, I think when our swords group started, we have a men's Bible study on Tuesday mornings at 9 o'clock for an hour, and we call it swords. And I think these were the first books that we started to study, was 1 and 2 Timothy, the Timothy books. And if you read them carefully, you'll really find it's a navigational aid. It is Paul's way, it says to Timothy, here's how you navigate through the landmines of this culture that you're living in. And what's remarkable is that these two books are as relevant today as they were when they were written in the first century, right? They're as relevant today. And so, in helping Timothy navigate through the perilous times, which is what chapter 3 is really about, the perilous times and perilous men. As a matter of fact, you can read the story later, but in verse 8 of this chapter, Paul mentions the two Egyptian magicians that opposed Moses, and he names them Jannes and Jambres, who opposed Moses in the book of Exodus. And everything that Moses tried to do for God, these two magicians either tried to duplicate it in a demonic way or confront it in a demonic way. And every time God showed himself strong, but that didn't stop them from trying to counter what God was doing. Paul saw that happening in the day that Timothy lived. And if it happened then, I see it happening in today's world as well. I see real demonic attempts to try to get us away from the real and the true and the valid Word of God. But guess what? We've got our compass. Amen? And as long as we've got our compass, we can know where we're going and what we should do. Look at what Paul says to Timothy about the Word of God, starting at verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let me stop there a moment. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Isn't that an incredible testimony? Now, I believe it's 1 Timothy, he says to Timothy, he says, I know there was faith in your mother and your grandmother, Lois and Eunice, thank you. Your mother and your grandmother taught you some things even when you were a child. How many believe it is important to teach our children the Word of the Lord? Amen? The Word of the Lord. That's what our Sunday school teachers do. That's what our kids' church leaders that are going on right now, that's what they do. And in our nursery, in our teen classes, in our young adult classes. Matter of fact, I have the privilege of teaching a young adult class on Wednesdays. We started this last Wednesday on the subject of prayer and regaining a passion for prayer in the lives of these young adults. And so what a privilege it is. But he says, you've learned the Scriptures from the time they were a child. And the church will do our best to teach children the Word of the Lord. But I'll tell you, it's only one aspect of it. If you're a Christian family, you are believers, you need to be teaching your children the Word of God at your home. Amen? You need to be reading with them and get them a Bible they'll understand. Get a kid's Bible if you want to, but teach them with the Word of God. Help them, encourage them, and help them to know the Word of God. If they go to a Christian school, they'll get some there. If they go to a public school, they're not allowed to do that. But I'll tell you, with the church helping you, and you doing it at home, and grandma and grandpa helping, we can get the Word of God inside our kids. They need it today. Amen. They need to know what the Word of the Lord is. And of course, we do it on their level. Look at what he says in verse 16, Timothy. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What a powerful statement. All Scripture. Now, to Timothy, that was the Old Testament. But to us, it is both Old and New Testament. The New Testament was just being written. As a matter of fact, this letter, as it was written, would become part of the New Testament. But for Timothy, that was the Old Testament. But it is true with Old and New. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Peter said the holy men of God wrote as they were, or spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God has inspired the Scriptures. We can trust what God wrote. Come on. We can trust what God wrote. As a matter of fact, if you've ever studied the history of how our Bibles came about, of how we have these 66 books and all of it dovetails together, it's an amazing, incredible miracle with astronomical odds that it could ever happen, but it did because God wanted us to have this book. Amen? God wanted us to have this book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why is that important? Because when we get ready to navigate through this life journey, we need a guide. We need a compass that will be true. We need a compass that will be there and consistently and not vacillating back and forth, changing its mind, etc., etc. We need something that is true to the course, and that's what our Bibles are. They're a compass, if you will, that needle that points us straight to true north. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And all of those things really are navigation things that God uses. He reproves us at times. He corrects us at times. Everybody knows if you've taken a journey, every now and then you've got to correct your course a little bit, right? You get off limit, or you get out of bounds, or whatever. You get off, and for us men, it just means we need to listen to our wives and get back in the road that they know we ought to be on. But that's what the Word of God does. That the man of God, verse 17, or woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the purpose of the Word of God. So, the Word of God, then, is our compass. So now, let me talk about prayer in light of navigating our way through the culture that we live in and through this faith journey. If the Bible is our compass, then in my opinion, prayer is that magnetic force that pulls that needle homeward. Prayer is the lifeblood of any believer. Prayer is at the same time simple enough for a child and yet powerful enough for the most battle-hardened prayer warrior. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the Pirates of the Caribbean series, if you watch those at all, but you'll remember Jack's got a compass that doesn't work. It always points odd places. Now, he knows what it means, but nobody else can depend on it. Well, every now and then, I want you to know this, that something happens to us and it spins our compass around. It spins that needle around. But our compass, the Word of God, is true, and prayer is what gets that needle pointing right back to true north. Amen? When something hits you broadside, or you see something in the paper, you see, hear somebody say something, or a believer tries to convince you of otherwise than the Word of God, it may spin your needle for a little while, but when you get on your knees and you begin to pray, you get your Bible open in front of you, prayer will get that needle pointed right back to square one, to true north, and we can believe the Word and trust God. Prayer will do that. Prayer is that magnetic force that pulls the needle back to true north. Now, let's talk about prayer for just a little bit. All right, now, I know the temptation is to say, oh, prayer, I know all about it. This is, you know, this is Christianity 101. Pastor, preach something really deep and really confounding. And that, well, you know, let's just face it. Christians are called to pray. Amen? And every now and then we need to talk about it. And as a matter of fact, Paul said to Timothy, I want you to stir up the gift of God that is within you, that was given you with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Every now and then, God needs to stir up the coals of our soul and stir up the passion of prayer and remind us just how important prayer is. Amen. Prayer, it's what we're called to do as a church and as believers. It's a simple enough for a child and yet powerful enough for a seasoned prayer warrior. Now, when our kids were growing up, Cheryl and I, it was very important to us that we taught them not only the Word of the Lord, but that we also taught them to pray. Now, how do you teach a child to pray? And it's very important, I believe it's a pattern. We teach children how to pray through example. They see mom and dad pray. That's how they learn. We pray ourselves, and so they see that. Now, for us, we prayed over every meal. We prayed over every meal. If we was at home, the kids were little, didn't matter how little, we prayed over that meal. Lord, bless the food to our, you know, et cetera. If we were traveling, we stopped at a restaurant, we stopped and we got our food. We prayed over in the restaurant. We didn't care who was watching. We did it. We taught our kids that's what prayer is about. You're not ashamed of it. If we went through the drive-thru and we were, you know, heading out and we had the food in the car, we didn't eat it before we prayed. We prayed in the car. And if Dad prayed, he prayed with his eyes open because I'm driving. But we taught them that that's what you do. You pray. You'd pray. And so you teach them. And when they got old enough to understand, so, you know, okay, Sharina, here we go. You know, Jesus. Bless the food to our bodies. Bless our bodies. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. She kind of jumped ahead of the prayer. We had teacher, you know, you wait till you say amen, then you eat. Anyway, that's how we taught her. And as her and Eddie got older, they begin to pray. They begin to pray more. And I think, at least as far as I know, they still do that to this very day. I remember as they were younger, that when we'd pray for them at bedtime, this was some of the real essential times of prayer. And they would go to bed. And we'd come in. Cheryl and I would come in, and Cheryl really led the way in this regard. And so we would kneel down. We'd kneel down by the bed, and we would pray for them. And we'd pray for specific things that they were dealing with. And the older they got, we continued to come into their room, and we prayed for them. Now, I've told you this before, but I'm going to mention it here for new folks. We had a dog, Boxy, who was a 160-pound Mastiff. And he's an outdoor dog that his rule for living with us is that he could be inside. Well, anyway, and I kid you not, this is it. We would kneel down at Eddie's bed or Sharina's bed, and Boxy would walk in, and he would put his paws up on the bed and lay his head down. I'm telling you, he would do it. Now, I don't know if he was praying or sleeping. I don't know. But anyway, it was cute. But we would pray for them. And we would pray over them. And we'd pray for the challenges that they were having. What we were doing, we were teaching them that prayer was important. And I pray, and I believe it has, even to this day, they've done that with their children. And it's instilling within them the power of prayer. And it's wonderful when we see little children pray. Amen? One of the moms after first service came and she said, oh, that reminds me of when one of their children was like five. And he was sitting at a table and mom was in the kitchen. And he had two little friends over. And the little friends didn't know about prayer. So they started eating. And he went, no, oh. 5 years old, don't pray. He says, don't eat. We got to pray first. And he says, but remember when you pray, you cannot say crap. And you cannot talk about hell. But other than that, let's thank Jesus for the food. 5 years old. So, remember that when you pray. Don't say crap. Anyway. Oh, isn't it wonderful to see the innocence of children, right? But the important thing is that we teach children to pray. Why? Because I want our kids to know they can talk to God anytime. And they can tell God anything and that God will be there to listen to them, right? And yet as simple as that is, prayer is also available to the war-weary veteran prayer warrior intercessor that faces demons of hell every day in their prayers and claims the name of Jesus and victory in his powerful name. And they go to prayer before God and they call out on his name and they do battle in the heavenlies where some people can't even see, but they know that that's what counts and that's what matters to God. Hallelujah. That's the beauty of prayer. It can be a little child's prayer to God and he'll listen. Or it can be a prayer warrior doing battle with the enemy with a sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. And God comes through. Hallelujah. Prayer. And everything in between. How should I pray? What's the proper way to pray, Pastor? Well, I don't know that there is a proper way to pray. The disciples asked Jesus one day, as a matter of fact, I'm going to turn there, Matthew chapter 6. And they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as John teaches his disciples. And so Jesus gave them this prayer. All right, we know it by heart, but I'm going to read it so I make sure I have everything correctly. Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven. Heaven is a point. It's a destination. That's true north. That's where our compass points. That's where we are headed. Amen? That's where we are headed. Praise God. We are headed for heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It is that name that we pray in. It is that name that is powerful. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What the same God that we pray to help stop the forces of evil is the God we pray to help supply our daily bread. He cares about daily bread, and yet he cares also about demonic forces attacking his people. God cares about all of those things. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's a great prayer. Well, you say, Pastor, do I have to pray that prayer every day? No, but if you want to, that's okay. That's a powerful prayer. It's a great prayer to start in the morning with. It's a great prayer, you know, to end the day with. It's a great prayer. But what is the right way to pray? I'm not sure I can tell you the right way to pray because I'm not sure there's a wrong way to pray. Now there may be. Maybe, you know, it's wrong to pray Jesus, please, please call me to Maui, please. Call me to Maui. I don't want to live in Battleground anymore. I hate Battleground. I want to be warm. Maybe that's a wrong way to pray, David. Now, what would make it a right way to pray would be, Lord, if it is your will, let me go to Valley. Anyway. If you're visiting today, David is Guamanian, and he isn't used to cold weather. And so everyone give him a good warm hug when the service is over, right? How do I pray, Pastor? How do I pray? How do I get that needle pointed in the right direction again? You just talk to God. Can I just tell you that's what prayer is? It is talking to God. You don't need a formula. There's not a right way, wrong way. I have close friends that pray very, very liturgical prayers, and that's wonderful. I have friends that pray in, you know, off the cuff, whatever prayer. The important thing is that we do it, is that we pray, is that we pray, is that we talk to God. That's the beauty of teaching a child to pray, because what we're teaching that child is just talk to God. Talk to him like a child. If you're a teenager, talk to God like a teenager, all right? Just don't say crap. I'm just kidding. If you're a young adult, talk to God like a young adult. If you're middle-aged or senior adult, whatever, the way you talk to God. That is not disrespectful. God wants to hear the cry of our hearts. Amen? I mean, when something hits you sideways, something hits you and a storm comes and just blows your boat off course and it spins that needle and you get your compass and that needle is just spinning. You get down on your knees or whatever and you get your compass and begin to pray. And as you begin to pray, the needle settles down and points you back to true north and gives you direction again. That's what prayer does. Prayer can direct you and guide you and lead you. That's why the Bible and prayer are really inseparable many times. Now, there's postures of prayer, but the Bible talks about standing in prayer, talks about kneeling in prayer, it talks about running in prayer, talks about walking in prayer, it talks about sitting in prayer, talks about all kinds of, it talks about laying down flat in prayer. There's all kinds of postures in prayer. You pick the one that's best for you. I know Penny, our prayer leader, wave at me, Penny, wave at me. There, her posture of prayer, when she leads prayer, she's right here. This is her spot. And she sits down on the floor just like, and I can't get up now, and this is embarrassing. Anyway, this is where she prays, right here. She just, anyway, that's right, Penny? That's where you pray. And John, he's out in the foyer. He's our security eyes today. He walks when he prays. When he prays, he just walks, and he walks, and he walks when he prays, and he walks, and he walks, and he walks. Cheryl, when she prays, she sits down. She's at the dinner table, or she's in our bedroom. She sits, and you can just see her calling out on God. And I'm a kneeler. I like to kneel and pray. And I'm going to keep doing that no matter how old I get. She may have to help me up, but I'm a kneeler. I kneel and pray. It doesn't matter how you do it. The important thing is that we pray. Amen. Is that we pray. Because prayer is a way that will help us navigate through this life journey that we are in. The storms of life come. We sang about it today. We have an expression. Let's pray about it. Let's pray about that. I remember as a young married man working with my pastor in Coos Bay. That's what he would always say. If you brought him a challenge, if there was time, he would say, let's pray about that. Now, if it was something that needed an immediate decision right there, he had prayed enough and got a prayer reserve, if you will, in the bank, that he was able to make some pretty wise decisions on the spur of the moment. But if he had time, he'd say, let's pray about that. Let's pray about that. And I was there one day when one of the guys in the church came up and said something, and he said, well, let's take the time to pray about that. And that guy said, I am so sick and tired of hearing you tell me we ought to pray about it. He said, come on, be a man. Just do it. Oh boy. I never saw my pastor so close to giving a guy the right hand of fellowship. But he had prayed enough to know that wouldn't have been the right thing to do. And he just simply said to him, I'm going to pray about this. And he turned around and walked off. That guy didn't stick around long. But I'll tell you this right now. Pastor Hughes made wise decisions. Amen? Didn't he, Sally? Where's Sally? There she is. She went to his church before I did. He made wise decisions. And because he sought the face of God and he prayed about it. How many believe we ought to say that a little more often? Let's pray about it. Amen? Let's pray about it. And what does that mean? That means take it to the Lord. The Bible, there's so many places in the Bible that it says to seek the face of God. Now, you don't have to be an expert at this. You don't have to know all the words to say. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, you can look that up later. We don't have it on the screen. But Romans 8, 26, it talks about the Spirit praying for us when we don't know what to say. He prays through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Honestly, there are times that we don't know what to pray. We don't want to say, we don't know how to pray. But we get down into our posture of prayer and we're honest with God. And we say, God, I just don't know how to pray about this situation. I just don't. And so I'm just going to worship you. I'm going to maybe use my prayer language. I'm just going to call out on you. And I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit, to pray through me or pray for me. Because you know the will of God and I don't in this situation. How many know that happens sometimes? Amen? And guess what? The Holy Spirit will do just that. Because it says that He, meaning Jesus, knows the mind and the spirit. He knows our hearts. He understands. And sometimes we just need the Holy Spirit to pray through us and to pray for us. To get us back on track. To get us back navigating our way the right direction. No prayer is too trivial. No petition too hard for the God of the universe to answer. If it's important to you, it's important to God. That's something that we need to remember. If it's important to you, then it's important to God. I've heard people say, well, that's too little a thing to bother God with. I want to tell you right now, you're not bothering God when you pray. You're not a bother when you pray. And you say, well, I've heard people say, that's way too big. I will refer you, if you think something's too big for God, I will refer you to a little verse in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. And he made the stars also. If he couldn't do that, you don't have any problem too big for God. Lord, I need your help to navigate through this situation. Let's turn to Philippians 4. And as I thought, I'm going to run out of time before I run out of notes. But I do want to talk next week about navigating our journey of faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the most important messages in this series, the power of the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 4. Why is prayer important as we navigate through this life? Because frankly, there's sometimes we know the right thing to do, but we don't have the strength to do it. And people are strengthened when you pray. There is a strength comes in prayer that doesn't come any other way. Now, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes even before you ask in prayer, strength will come to you. But there's some strength that will only come when we pray. And if you are so sick you can't raise your head off your pillow, but you need help, in your heart of hearts, without words, pray. And God will give you a strength that won't come otherwise. And when you can't pray for yourself, someone else can pray for you, and that strength will come. That strength will come. Why is prayer so important? Because sometimes I don't know what direction to take. And that's why in prayer, I like to couple the word of the Lord with prayer. So I come to the Lord, and I get my Bible opened, and I begin to say, Lord, I need your direction. My compass needle is spinning. My compass is true, but the needle is spinning. Prayer will help get the needle back to the right direction. And Lord, I need you to speak to my heart. How many know God can speak to you? He can speak to you in your heart of hearts. Yes. The one criticism I've heard some people say is you Christians are crazy because you hear voices. Yes, in fact, I do. It's called the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Called the voice of Jesus. Called the voice of God. He speaks to us. Yes, he does. He speaks to us through his word. The scriptures that I'm reading to us today, this is God's voice speaking to us. But we can sit down and we can take our Bibles, our compass, and we can begin to pray that, you know, the force that pulls that needle, and we can say, Lord, I need a direction. I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden you hear this sense, you get this sense, turn to this psalm or turn to that proverb or go to the book of Romans, right about the middle, left side of the column, up three verses. That's the way it works for me. And you go there, and you read, and you go, whoa. Now, maybe that might not work every time. I mean, if you flip to the page that says Judas went out and hanged himself, you might not want to do that. But I'm telling you, it'll direct us to the Bible. Or it'll bring a verse. It'll bring a verse to our memory. Or a part of a verse. And it'll just stick that needle right on. Amen? And you read it and you go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. Are we there? Verses 6 and 7. And we'll close with this. Be anxious for nothing. You don't know how many times I've been directed to this verse. Sometimes in prayer, I'm praying over something and I'll hear the Lord speak and say, go to the Philippians verse. And I know good and well what God's talking about. It's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Go to the Philippians verse. How many would be honest and say, I'm a hand wringer? Do you know what a hand wringer is? Is that old? Yeah, there you go. Worry, you know, ringing, you know, that. Some of you young folks, that's a new term. That's like an emoji. Okay. Two hands held together, that's a hand wringer. That means you're worried about something. Whenever I get to be a hand wringer, the Lord says, go to that Philippians verse. And I'll say, which one was that, Lord? He'll say, you know. Turn there, read it. And it says, be anxious for nothing. Stop wringing your hands. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving. Sometimes it's good just to thank God for the answer before the answer even shows up. Amen? I want to tell you, for several years before I got married, I was praying for a wife. And I was thanking Him for a wife. Really, as a teenager. Thank you, God, for my wife, whoever she is. I hope she's pretty, but whoever she is. And then, anyway, you know that story. God, I thank you for the answer even before the answer comes. Because you know God can do some powerful things if we have a grateful heart. If we have a grateful heart. Everything by prayer, everything. There's no prayer insignificant. Lord, I need to navigate through this delicate minefield of family relationships. I need to know the right thing to do as teenagers when I hear something at school. Lord, my college professor is teaching this one thing, but Lord, I know it's not right. Help me to navigate through it. Father God, I know what your word says, but the world says to me, I can fudge a little bit on this. I can tell the little white lie. God, what do I do? Get back to the compass. Amen? Back to the compass. What happens when we pray? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what happens when we pray. Now, every time you pray, the answer may not come instantly. You may have to pray again and again and again. But every time you get into your posture to pray, you are telling God, I need your help. I need you to get my needle straight. I need you to get my needle and stop it spinning. Okay. I'm not going to stand up here and say to you that if you say the right formula, everything you pray for will happen. I'm not going to tell you that because that's not true. But I'll tell you, some things happen in prayer that are bigger than the answers. There's something happens in prayer that's bigger than the answer. And that is the peace that passes understanding. It's beyond our understanding. How many times have I heard people say to me, I don't know how they went through this with the peace they have. And I'll say, I do. They took it to prayer. And God gave them a peace that passed all understanding. And you know, you can sail a long way toward the goal if you just have peace in your heart. Amen? And peace comes when we pray. So, second thing to help us navigate through this faith journey. First one is prayer. I mean the Bible. Second one is prayer. You put them together and it's a force to be reckoned with. Amen? So if you're just learning, if you're just a new believer and you're just learning how to pray, keep your sessions short. It's okay to do that. If you're a veteran at prayer, maybe lengthen your sessions a little bit. Okay? The number of times a day, it's up to you. But it's good to talk to God at least once a day. Amen? And I'd rather we do what Paul said. Pray without ceasing. Be in an attitude of prayer every day. Just all day long. That's a great... But also, we need to find a place. This is Cheryl's real mantra. I don't know if that's a good word to use, but that's what she says, is find a place every day, find a place and get alone with God. Find a place and pray. And God will meet you there. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. This message was never intended, and I hope it hasn't been received this way, it was never intended to heap guilt on anybody. Because I will be the first to admit, I often get busy doing a lot of good things and forget to do the best thing, and that is to pray. I'm the worst offender. But the Lord keeps drawing me back, all right? So it's not intended to heap guilt on anybody. But what I want to do, I want to ask God to rekindle a passion for prayer in our lives. Amen? So if you're physically able, would you lift a hand to God? And I want to pray a prayer. And if your heart of hearts, if you can say amen to this prayer, say, yeah, God, I want what Pastor just prayed. If you can't, just be honest and say, God, I don't know that I can do that right now, but you show me what I can do. All right? So here's my prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I want you to rekindle a passion for prayer in my life, oh God. I admit I've done a lot of good things. I'm busy about a lot of good stuff, but I have forgotten to spend time with God. And Lord, whether it's 5 minutes or whether it's an hour or whether it's two, Lord, I just want to be a man and a woman of prayer. I don't want to be so busy with the other stuff that I forget to spend time with God. Now, Father God, I know that in my praying, I don't have to talk any certain way. And I will be honest with you, God. I will pray just like I was talking to my friend, because God is my friend. And I want to do that. I want to call out on you. And Lord, I want to be so burdened for prayer, not just for me, but for others, that it would have a respectful place of prominence in my life. Lord Jesus, thank you, because I know that prayer will help me navigate through the journey of faith that I'm on. Coupled with the Word of God, boy, we're going to make it. So Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's thank God for the invitation to be people of prayer. Amen. 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 Amen.